Sam, man, it's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.
It looks like we made it here just on time. You ready to board the, what's this train called? It's called the $2 trillion Infrastructure Plan Express. That's a weirdly specific and politically relevant name.
Perfect. Yeah, let's get on board. It's been a while since I've ridden a train, since, you know, the pandemic and all, so.
Me too. Let's do it. Let's hop aboard, man. All
aboard! It's not a plan that tinkers around the edges. It's a once-in-a-generation investment in America, unlike anything we've seen or done since we built the interstate highway system and the space race decades ago.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today...
So I've been watching the Snowpiercer TV show, which, believe it or not, is a thing. And this is a much better train to be on than that one. That one is terrifying.
Transportation reporter Sam Mintz joins me on the $2 trillion Infrastructure Plan Express for a cross-country tour of some of the big goals included in President Biden's new infrastructure proposal, and a look at some of the turbulence he might face in trying to get it passed. This is a pretty nice train. It's good to see everybody is wearing masks and distancing. Ooh, dang. Free champagne in our cabin. You wanna pop a glass before we get to our first stop here?
Absolutely.
All right, cheers, man.
Cheers.
All right, Sam, it looks like we are at our first stop here. Let's head out and see what we... Whoa, what's that I'm looking at here?
So you are looking at a bunch of money for roads, bridges, highways, sort of the part of the core of what we think of when we think of infrastructure. So this plan has $115 billion set aside for, you know, roads, highways, bridges, main streets, all the stuff that we drive on. Part of the core of this traditional infrastructure. It's got a real focus on repairing existing infrastructure. Fix it first has been a principle put out by the administration. In general, the goal here is not to build new highways or expand roads, but to do things like fix structurally deficient bridges and repair the infrastructure we have. And that's very much in line with the rhetoric that we've heard from Biden for a long time.
All right. Well, let's get back to the $2 trillion Infrastructure Plan Express. You want to check out that other car over there? It looks a little more interesting than the one we're on. It looks like they have live music in there. Whoa, that looks like that's Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg playing in that jazz combo in there.
Thank you.
My God.
It's an honor to be with you. Thank you very much.
Known aficionado of many transportation modes, so not surprised to see him on this train.
All right, well, let's check it out. Oop, looks like we are at our second stop here. What's that that's outside of the window there? Is that... That looks like a bunch of electric cars out there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And you know what? It's not just electric cars. It's electric trucks and mail trucks and school buses. So this is probably the centerpiece and maybe most transformative section of this proposal is electrification. And that's no surprise given the way Biden talked it up on the campaign trail. The plan calls for Congress to fund new tax incentives, rebates for customers purchasing electric vehicles. And it would also do things like create new grant programs for charging infrastructure. And the goal here is to build 500,000 new charging stations. That's a number he's been putting out for a long time now. And then it also calls for electrifying the entire federal fleet, including postal service trucks, and then 20% of the country's school buses. So that's all massive.
What's the timeline for something like that?
The term of the bill is 8 years. I think the efforts that he's describing would take longer than that. But when you start delivering money over 8 years, I think, you know, they'd try to move fast. Mm-hmm. One transportation policy expert from the National Resources Defense Council told me that section of the bill alone, electrification, would basically transform the transportation industry by itself.
How much money are we looking at for something like that?
So the electrification portion of this proposal is $174 billion. It's one of the biggest sections in the bill, one of the biggest in the transportation part.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
So we've got one stop left here. Should we hop back on the train?
Let's do it.
Whoa, it looks like it's raining. It looks like it's raining members of Congress. Sam, those are senators and representatives coming down out there, and some of them do not look too happy.
Every single family will pay the price for what Joe Biden's agenda is. He will drive up the cost of the food and the groceries.
How much turbulence do you think this congressional weather is going to cause for our trip on the $2 trillion infrastructure plan express?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm worried about a total derailment of this train, but it's going to be interesting to watch. There are some pretty dicey politics at play. Obviously, the margins in both the House and the Senate are extremely narrow. It's a couple members in the House. It's one vice president in the Senate. And there's some tricky policy questions at play here. Also about the pay-fors. Obviously, Republicans, by and large, almost entirely have already come out and said, you know, we won't support this bill, A, because it raises corporate taxes, which they're opposed to as a pay-for, and B, because they say it's sort of just like chock full of progressive priorities that are not real infrastructure, is essentially how they'd put it.
Hmm. What sort of realistic concessions do you think Biden will have to or could make to keep this train running?
I mean, that's a great question. And I think that will be the central battle, because obviously this is a proposal. It's a starting point. It's the beginning of a negotiating process that has to go through Congress. You know, the Joe Manchins of the world will also play a huge role in dictating how this bill winds up. I think there could be all sorts of areas where they'd have to maybe lower the numbers, maybe make changes, maybe add priorities for people who are trying to pull in here. Things for, you know, priorities for West Virginia is the joke that keeps getting made. We're going to have a big, you know, new monorail station in West Virginia or something because of this bill.
Well, based on everything you said, I don't know if we're going to end up making it to our final stop here, but I think I see it out there ahead in front of our train. And it looks like it's just more trains. Is that right?
Yeah, this one's just a train station. That's not quite as exciting. However, some of the investments in this bill are pretty exciting if you're a big fan of public transit and passenger rail. It's, of course, got money for both of those priorities. Biden's team says it would double federal transit funding with the $85 billion investment in there, which is a huge amount of money that would go towards things like expanding existing transit service and, you know, maintaining operating costs. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, passenger rail is a big part of the bill, too. They haven't been super specific about how they want to use that, but they've said that they want to, you know, improve Amtrak facilities, improve the Northeast Corridor, and then create new corridors as well. And there's no specific mention of high-speed rail in the proposal, but, you know, there are a lot of people talking about how this money could be used to potentially start working or continue working on high-speed rail projects.
Well, Sam, I guess we don't know if this trip is ever really going to make it to its final destination, but thanks so much for coming along for the ride with me.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll be along on this ride for months to come as we follow the infrastructure train through Congress.
Sam Mintz is a transportation reporter at Politico. To follow his coverage of the infrastructure plan as it works its way through Congress, sign up for the weekly transportation newsletter at politico.com/newsletters. Also today, Democrats in Congress are poised to reintroduce sweeping federal legislation that aims to reshape college sports and could include new protections for athletes. The so-called College Athletes Bill of Rights, a proposal from Senator Cory Booker last year, would require money-making college sports programs to share their profits with players, allow athletes to sign endorsement deals, and add new health and safety standards. During an appearance with college players who are pressing the NCAA to change its rules on compensation on Thursday, Booker called the system broken. And Senator Richard Blumenthal said reintroducing Booker's legislation is, quote, definitely the track that we are going down right now. And labor unions are making a new push to get the education department to use executive action to forgive the student loans of Americans working in public service jobs. In a letter on Thursday, a group of 15 unions led by the National Education Association, representing more than 10 million public service workers, called on Education Secretary Miguel Cardona to fully erase the debt of borrowers who have worked for more than a decade in public service jobs. The unions say the relief is needed because the Education Department's existing public service loan forgiveness program has been plagued by problems in mismanagement. More than 98% of applicants seeking loan forgiveness have been rejected by the program. On the campaign trail, President Biden vowed to fix the public service loan forgiveness program, and he backed legislation that would expand the benefits. But he's been skeptical of the notion of using executive powers to unilaterally write off student debt. The Politico Dispatch production team includes senior producer Jenny Ament and executive producer Irene Noguchi. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.